down transition at Lastway went smoothly enough. Cheryl had dropped them in farther from the planet than usual, with as little relative V as possible. Scan cleared in a few minutes, and Kai checked the Lastway Ansibles, querying for current sector-wide commercial news. She didn't expect much, but a large download came into the bin a half hour later. "Communications blockage still threatens commerce," was one headline. According to that article, Ansibles had gone down in a number of systems within a few hours, disrupting not only communications, but also trade. Several planets, Leonora was listed, had closed their systems to outside traffic. ISC had begun repairs at both the hub and periphery of its systems simultaneously, and Lastway now had unimpeded communications with two other systems. ISC wasn't saying what it had found, just that work is in progress to restore clear, reliable communication as quickly as possible. Slaughter Key was one of the systems listed as still not open, as were Belinta and Leonora. Kai flicked through the list, and the next headline stopped her breath in her chest. Vata Empire falls.
What?
She scrolled down. The Quadrant's second-largest interstellar shipper, based on Slaughter Key, has suffered a series of devastating attacks on its ships and personnel. Disaster has followed even onto their home planet, with explosions in warehouses and tick processing plants, as well as the deaths of many family members in explosions at the family compound on Corley. Bankruptcy seems imminent as customers flee the ill-fated line. The house she'd grown up in, that garden, that pool, the cool tiled terraces, the comfortable rooms, gone. Her family, her busy, bustling mother, her brothers, her cousins, her father. It can't be. They couldn't be dead. It had to be a mistake. It made no sense anyway. They had no enemies. Commercial rivals, but not enemies. She tried to find out more, but the writer preferred to speculate on the effect of Vata's disintegration on the price of shipping and the fortunes of rival firms. Two other stories mentioned attacks on Vata transport, one from Hydair, a system near the sector hub, and one from ISC sources. More ships had been attacked on station, and two Vata ships were overdue at their next port. Insurance carriers had dropped Vata as too risky. Shippers were avoiding Vata because of the lack of insurance. ISC issued a statement disclaiming responsibility for the attacks on Vata. "We are quite sure that the involvement of a Vata ship in the situation of Sabine system is not related to these attacks. ISC's relationship with Vata Enterprises, Vata Transport, and individuals of the Vata family has been strictly business, and no closer than our relationship with other customers." Kai stared at that. So someone else had thought this might result from her actions in the Sabine system, and then had discarded that idea.
My fault?
For a moment, the invented mental images of destruction she hadn't seen swamped her mind. The house burning, the office exploding, the warehouses and processing plants aflame. Family members whose faces she would never see again.
No.
That wasn't going to help her get her cargo sold, her crew and ship safely in and out of Lastway space. They might be alive, some of them at least. She had to think that way. Imagining the worst would paralyze her. She scanned the rest of the download, concentrating on the here and now. She shunted prices to Martin and Aline in cargo, and Quincy in engineering. 2 hours later, Kylara was in contact with Lastway Traffic Control.
Vata ship Gary Tobai, are you in transit or on approach?
Approach.
Then be advised. Vata ships are under special advisory concern.
Explain.
How long have you been in transit?
Kai gave the date in Universal.
Oh, so you aren't aware of the situation.
What situation?
Vata Transport Limited has been the target of some form of attack, and we've been informed that upon docking, all prior insurance coverage for Vata hulls is canceled. Vata personnel are considered to be at risk, and Vata family members at special risk. Lastway Militia Services disclaims responsibility for their safety and recommends extreme caution and additional private security.
Are any Vata hulls presently docked?
No. Yours is the first into our space since all this blew up. Whatever did you people do? And who did you annoy?
I don't know. I've been in transit. What have you heard?
2 dozen rumors, nothing solid. But if you dock here, you may have problems getting out, and you will have to pay cash. Vada credit has gone down the tubes.
If I don't dock here, I may run out of air. So bring me in.
Up to you. There's an 800 credit cash deposit on docking. Immigration control will be there to collect it.
Thank you.
Kai called the crew together in the rec area.
What I know is all bad, but I'm sure we don't know everything.
She went on to describe the news.
It may be that all the other Vadas are dead. It may be that the news is all wrong and they're all alive. But for our own safety, we have to assume that there is someone, apparently a lot of someones with plenty of resources, after Vada.
You aren't setting foot off this ship.
On the contrary, I must, to do what needs doing. At any rate, it would do me no good to sit here and have my crew picked off one or two at a time. I can't run this thing alone. But we are going to be careful. Those procedures that Martin developed, that we've been practicing, we are all going to adhere to them. No casual wandering around the station, no letting people wander into our dock space. We're going to carry taggers, we're going to put up extra security screening, the whole bit.
What do you think you have to do that requires you to go off ship?
Kai looked at her, but Quincy didn't back down. Not surprising.
To start with, I have to pay docking fees in advance, in cash. Vada's credit's been frozen. I should have a private account here, but since we don't know when the Belinta Ansibles went out, I don't know if the transfer I set up before we left actually went through. I need to exchange hard goods for cash, open an account, get us back into business. None of you can do that. In addition, I need a way to defend myself.
You... Are you talking about weapons? About arming the ship?
I'm not sharing all my thoughts with any of you. Not even you, Quincy. Not because I don't trust you. But at this point, the fewer people who know my plans, the fewer people can be forced to give them up.
Their expressions showed that none of them had considered that possibility yet.
You think someone might grab one of us? Shake us down?
It's possible. We have to think of things like that, Mitt. If they'll attack corporate headquarters on Slaughter Key and kill family and crew on other stations, then a snatch isn't the least likely thing to happen if we're unprepared. That's why we'll take precautions. Those of you with implants, make sure you keep your communications channels alive. Talk to the ship anytime you're out. Anything, everything.
You don't have an implant. Isn't it time to use that implant your father sent you?
It hasn't been 6 months. In the meantime, the first trip out is going to buy me the best non-implant personal communicator on this station. I'll wear it from then on, and when I go out, I'll have both crew and, depending on what I find out in the next couple of hours, hired security as well.
Captain, if Vada Transport is really gone, really defunct, are you going to try and start it up again or go independent?
Bia, I can't answer that one now. I don't know enough. We just fell into a war with these attacks. I don't know who the enemy is, or why the attacks happened, or how strong the enemy is, or which of our forces are left. The main thing now is to survive, gather data, get someplace from which we can move, if a move is possible.
You ought to go back to Slaughter Key. Your family needs you.
If I have a family. Attacks on headquarters, warehouses, processing plants, the private terminal, the family compound. Where else would my family be? And it will do no good to go to Slaughter Key and be cut off from Ansible communication. What they need, if they live, if the whole corporation hasn't been bankrupted, is someone out here doing trade and showing that Vada ships still carry cargo safely.
But if we have no insurance, no one will ship with us.
Well, not the big shippers, no. But there are always people desperate to get cargo from here to there and willing to assume the risk themselves.
Vada has never carried that kind of cargo.
Oh, yes, we have. Long ago, admittedly, but it's in the family histories. Vada wasn't always completely pure and above board. No one was in the early days after the Rift. So what we're going to do is trade and profit, along with skulking and hiding and being extremely careful.
I don't see how we can carry the Vada colors and be careful both. I'm with Bia. Why not go independent now? Change the ship's registry.
We can't. We're already widely known as Vada. If it comes to that, we'll have to do it somewhere else. Some port that is even less law-abiding than last way.
They all stared at her in silence. Kai spent the next 2 hours looking at the threat assessment she and Martin had made on the approach when she had nothing else to do. Too many question marks, too many things she could not know. The lessons from the academy came back to her. No commander ever knew everything. The ones who thought they did were often in the worst trouble. Good commanders took what they did know and made good plans, and contingency plans, anyway. Kai doodled on a blank page of her log. Mission.
What is my mission, anyway?
She had no higher command at the moment. Surely the original mission, to sell the ship for scrap, was irrelevant at this point.
Stay alive. Keep my crew alive. Keep my ship whole and functioning. Find out who was behind this. Victory conditions?
As cadets, they'd been introduced to the concepts of tactics, strategy, grand strategy. But most of their time had gone into the things a junior officer might need to know. Strategy was for older, more senior, and hopefully wiser heads. Juniors succeeded insofar as they figured out ways to carry out the designs of their seniors. Kai shook her head at that moment of nostalgia. Prepared or not, she was the person on the spot. She was senior now. It was all up to her. No use to whine that she wasn't ready or didn't know enough. Nobody was around to advise her.
Victory conditions. Start with alive and free, all of us. Alive, free, with the ship. Alive, free, with the ship and crew, and some prospect of making a living. And then doing something to save my remaining family members, and if possible, the family business. Revenge on whoever did this will have to come later, much later. But survival itself depends on figuring out who it is.
Payson's allies were the obvious choice. And if true, that meant it was her fault. If she hadn't killed Payson, they would not have attacked her family. But it made no sense that pirates would waste all that money and effort to attack her family when they had to know where she was. It seemed simpler and cheaper to just kill her. Now was the time to find out who, and then how and why and the rest, while keeping herself and her crew alive and out of enemy hands. She looked at the locker in which she'd stowed the Vata implant her father had sent her. It was still too soon, according to the Mackenzie surgeon, to have an implant installed. But at this moment, she would have liked access to the proprietary Vata information. More important, though, was keeping it out of enemy hands. A security issue that hadn't occurred to her until this moment. When the crew reassembled, she asked for their ideas, their threat assessments. It occurred to her, as they ran down their lists, that they were doing much better than they would have before the Sabine mess. Still, Jim seemed to have a talent for thinking up ways someone might do them damage. His list was longer than anyone else's. Kai looked at him when they'd all finished.
Where did you get those ideas? I'm not angry. I just wonder what else you were doing besides fixing ship engines.
I'm not doing it here. Wouldn't do anything to this ship, Captain.
I'm glad to know it. And glad you're on our side.
Kylara looked at Aline.
First, I'm going to see if the legal firm I contacted has any final word on that Leonora cargo. Then we'll list our cargo on the exchange boards. Martin will concentrate on security issues, so you'll have to run cargo on your own.
Prices are volatile, Captain. How long do you think it'll be before we get clearance?
Well, less than an hour after we dock, I'm hoping. Certainly by end of shift. As soon as we start selling, we start resupply. Environmental, in-system fuel, general supplies. Now, can we offload to the secure dock area without outside help?
I don't think so. The Leonora cargo's all palleted. Too heavy to shift without a loader. We could rent a loader, I suppose. I've handled one, but who else has?
I can't. At least, I've used one once.
With Jim, that could mean he'd seen someone else use one once, or he'd driven one off a dock into the water, or possibly he had actually driven one without incident.
How long will it take with one loader to clear the holds?
If some of the others will help with shifting and positioning, we can have the Leonora pallets off in a shift. The rest, you know our difficulties, Captain. Several days.
Here's what we'll do then. First, Martin will supervise setting up our security net. Meanwhile, I'll arrange loader rental, and as soon as we're cleared for it, we'll start unloading those pallets. I'd like to minimize exposure of personnel to possible problems. The fewer outsiders who come aboard, and the less time anyone spends on station, the safer we'll be. On final approach, Last Way Station looked like what it was, a vast and complicated construction that had grown far beyond its original design to accommodate the needs of its local and transient populations. Below it, the planet's cloud-wrapped surface was invisible. 2 centuries earlier, terraforming had begun on a moderately appropriate base. The information packet supplied by the station to all incoming ships described in detail the processes that continued. But Kai was far less interested in the details of biogeochemical processes than in the price of refreshment cultures for the environmental system and what she could hope to get for the cargo originally consigned to Leonora. As Lee eased the ship nearer and nearer to the docking booms, Kai reviewed the current list of ships docked, their origins and destinations. Another had been waved off from Leonora, and she learned that the on-station legal services had already certified its cargo as undeliverable, available for resale. At least she didn't have to fight that battle on her own.
Martin, the Leonora cargo is ours to dispose of. Scavenge what you need.
Thanks, ma'am. As it happens, those containers were right handy. Won't take much time at all.
The suspicion crossed Kai's mind that Martin had already taken what he wanted from them, but there was no reason to push the issue. None of the ships on station now seemed like a pirate ready to blow her ship away, but she hadn't spotted Pazin as a problem until too late. She had to assume that danger lurked here, everywhere. Her own ship's needs ranged, as usual, from must-haves like refreshment cultures for the environmental tanks, to very desirable, like better long scan, to wishful thinking, like an in-system drive that would move them faster than a snail on a hot rock. At least she hadn't spent all her money on Belinta. Lee docked neatly, and the station crew hooked up the support umbilicals. Kai found several small chores to do until she realized she was anxious about opening the hatch, then made herself go down to cargo hold 1 and do it. Martin materialized from one of the cargo hatches and stood in front of her. Last Way Immigration Control, 1 unarmed and 6 armed, were waiting at dockside, by their expressions none too patiently. The one without weapons had 2 forearms on one arm and a wrist tentacle on the back of the other wrist. Kai managed not to blink in surprise. That was a humod form she hadn't seen before.
800 cash or trade goods to be valued by an independent assessor.
The tentacle uncurled elegantly, and the input connectors glinted.
Trade goods.
Kai handed the tentacle one of Aunt Gracie's diamonds. The tentacle transferred the diamond to that hand, then removed a sealable pouch from a pocket, plucked up the diamond again and inserted it, then sealed the pouch.
Submitted for assessment. You will want a receipt.
I want an assessor here, at dockside.
You think Last Way Immigration Control is dishonest?
I think diamonds are too easy to misplace or confuse with other diamonds.
I will call.
Silent moments as the humod communicated by interface. Then it nodded sharply.
Yes, one expert in assessing crystals comes.
Are you from here?
Why ask that?
No insult intended, but your accent is not the same as what I heard from traffic control. I merely wish to know which accent is native here to adjust my interpretation to that norm.
Ah, you have old tech implant, yes. Mine adjust myself. From Vastig, I am 8 years agone taking ship away from sad family. You know Vastig?
No.
But such ships come there, Vata transport. Many ships Vata has, or had. Someone likes Vata not.
True enough. And I don't know why, do you?
Not I. Others make guesses on the guesses. On Vastig, we do not make guesses. We say the truth. But here comes one to assess.
Kai looked around to see a man in a dressy business suit.
As he came closer, she began to wonder if he too were a Humod. One eye appeared to have a magnifier built into it, the rim sunken into the skin. When he opened his mouth to speak, his tongue was dark and heavily furred.
Licensed Assessor Grill at your service. A crystal for assessment, yes?
The immigration control officer transferred it to Grill's hand, a hand that appeared to be normal to Kai's fascinated gaze, and Grill put it into his mouth for a long moment, then spat it back to his hand.
Carbon. Impurity is negligible to value.
Now the magnifier extended, lenses telescoping from his eye.
Cut, milli-cut diamond, crystalline structure excellent, flaws minimal. Value for official purposes, 2,443 credits.
He handed it back to the immigration control officer, who tucked it into the sealed pouch again.
Good day.
Grill turned on his heel and walked away. The immigration control officer handed Kai a hard copy strip that had just extruded from his lower forearm.
Your receipt for a credit balance of 1,643 to be set against docking and service fees. Welcome to Lastway. Enjoy your stay.
All clear now. I don't see the loader that should be here. I'll contact them and the security company again.
The captain should re-enter the ship. I want to get the net set out. I'll need Jim, Bia, and Mihar.
Before Kai could contact the rental agency, Martin reported that the loader had arrived. He and his crew had already installed the first of the visual scans, so Kai could watch the loader grind across the dock toward the ship and listen in on the conversation with her crew. The operator had a gray uniform with rental equipment in red on the front and back.
Sorry, I had to get clearance from immigration. Check your financials.
We will need to scan your machine.
Fine, I get paid by the hour. Don't hurry.
The operator lounged in his seat as Martin used a long-handled mirror and various other tools to check over, under, and around the loader.
Now you. Get out.
Me? You're only renting the loader. You don't need to scan me.
Oh, I think we do.
The man shrugged and started to climb down. He suddenly launched himself at Mihar, whipping a knife from his boot. She sidestepped neatly and thrust a short baton into his gut. He folded around it, dropping the knife. Mihar stepped back. Martin moved in, swung the man around, and clipped him smartly on the jaw.
Good job, Mihar. You're a natural at this.
Mihar hooked the baton back on her belt.
I would rather not be, but thanks anyway.
Bia, Jim, perimeter.
Martin's reminder focused the other two on the dock access. Kai watched, fascinated, as Martin secured the man's knife by scooping it into a plastic bag, then fastened his wrists and ankles with cargo cords, as he had done with Jim at first.
Captain?
Yes, I saw that.
You said station police didn't want to give us protection. Think they'd be interested in taking in a perp?
I suppose we'd better ask. And I'd better talk to the rental company, too.
Threaten them. They either sent you a ringer, or they were bent to start with.
Kai looked up the emergency numbers and called the station police, here called the Garda.
You did what? You can't just hit people and tie them up.
My crew was attacked with a knife.
Witnesses? Other than your own crew?
Recorded in video.
Oh, well, we'll send someone over.
Who to call next? Getting more security on their dockside seemed more important than wrangling with the rental company. Lastway's business directory listed 5 security services, but only 3 were bonded and insured. Baratom, Max, and Padilla Protection. She had no clue which to pick. The station master, she knew, would not be allowed to give an opinion. Who else? ISC. ISC had their own security, but they must use on-site firms for personal protection sometimes, and they would surely know who to contact for dockside surveillance. Kai contacted their Lastway office and asked for the station director.
Who's calling, please?
To ISC, the Vada name should still be gold-plated. Captain Kailara Vada of the...
Vada? Just a minute.
Who do you think you are, Queen of the Spaceways? Don't you realize we have better things to do than babysit some rich trader's brat?
I beg your pardon?
You Vadas are spoiled rotten. Can't wait your turn like everyone else. Think you're special. Well, out here, Captain Vada, we're all citizens, and we don't try to cut in line. You'll take your place in the outgoing queue just like everyone else, and that's final.
Kai stared at the console as if it had grown actual teeth, and then called again.
What?
I wasn't trying to cut in line. I had a question.
I'm not the damned information desk.
Kai told herself that everyone at ISC must be under tremendous strain. Still, she found it hard to believe that the station manager of an obscure office like Lastway could have reason to be that angry with Vada Transport, or any particular Vada. But he was, and that was a fact to cope with.
Who else?
She scanned the business directory, looking for familiar names. Somewhat to her surprise, Lastway Station had three branches of Hark, the sector-wide pastry franchise. The original Hark, in business at this location for 17 years. Hark number 2, convenient to the financial district. And Hark Light, same flavor, less filling. She doubted that they'd have much knowledge of security companies.
The Captain's Guild?
Thank you for calling the Captain's Guild. How may I help you?
This is Captain Vada.
I'm sorry, but we consider the Vada account closed at this time. Any services would be on a cash basis only.
I'm not planning to stay there. I just had a question.
A question? What about?
What private security companies on station would you recommend?
The station business directory has a list.
I know that, but only three are bonded. What services have other captains found reliable?
I'm afraid, under the circumstances, that I can't take the liability risk of recommending anything in that line. Now, if you wanted a recommendation for a good restaurant...
Oh, fine.
Julian's is very nice. They grow their own fresh vegetables, and they have a cultivar of Syntha beef that's extremely good. Or, if you prefer seafood, there's Fish Heaven. All local produce...
Thank you. That's very nice. I don't suppose you have any idea where I can purchase ordnance.
Ordnance? You mean, like, weapons?
It was a forlorn hope, but scaring him looked like the only fun she was going to have.
Exactly.
Well, there's always the Milmart Exchange over on Hub 4.
Thank you. Are they in the business directory?
Yes, Captain. Under heavy equipment new and used.
You've been most helpful. Heavy equipment new and used, huh? Was this why the Sabines were so suspicious of the farm equipment on the manifest?
Kai looked at the directory again, shrugged, and called Baratom Security Services because it came first on the list. Baratom Security Services put her on hold long enough to be annoying. Then a senior sales representative came on.
You can understand that we have concerns about any assignment with a Vada family member at this time. With Vada accounts frozen...
Hard goods. Acceptable to immigration control.
Oh, well, the liability risk is...
I am willing to waive liability where no misconduct by your employees is involved. We need dockside security as well as personal escort.
I'm afraid we would have to add a surcharge for the additional hazard.
If you add the surcharge, I'm less willing to waive liability.
Surcharge. Dockside, that's a minimum of 6 personnel, 2 on each shift. Escort charges vary with shift. When would you want them?
As soon as possible. I'm uncertain of the duration at this point.
That's all right. We can have a team at your dockside in 15 minutes. An escort will be dispatched when you request. Were you needing one this shift?
Kai looked at the chronometer, set now to Lastway Station's standard time. The shift would end in a half hour, and the next shift was main day or business. She wouldn't get out of here before then.
No, not this shift. I'll let you know.
The police still hadn't arrived. Kai looked up Milmart Exchange and found that it occupied almost half of Hub 4's extensive storage holds. Surplus new and used military heavy equipment, no credit, was its subhead. No more details available without a personal visit, but she could apply for a customer ID that would, the site said, facilitate entry to the facility for first-time customers. Confidentiality assured. Recommended procedure. Kai hesitated, then decided to apply. Anyone interested already knew she was docked here. The public access ship listing would tell them that.
To her surprise, the application consisted of asking for a number. She did not even have to give a name. She took down the number she was given, 15 digits, then looked up weapons, where she found 6 gun shops listed, ranging from Bernie's Knives and Guns, cheap, reliable personal protection, to Blade Bullet and Bow, Blades, Firearms, and Archery Tackle for the discriminating. She looked for ordnance and found Sea Heavy Equipment, plus a small boxed notice that Lastway was not responsible for the legal status of ships mounting heavy equipment. Captains should check with their relevant political units. Sabine's concern now seemed more reasonable, and Lastway Station's regulations on personal weaponry were clearly less stringent than those on many other stations. Kai looked at the available live shots of station activity and noticed that a number of the people walking past were obviously armed. Probably others carried concealed weapons. The directory listed a number of sources for surveillance and security systems, including most of the weapon sources already shown. Vic's Precision Protection Supply was closest, on the same sector of the same hub. She had Martin's wish list of gadgets and software. No, the first thing was to arrange handling of funds. All the major quadrant banks had branches here. Kai picked Crown and Spears. Their representative regretted any inconvenience that it might cause, but they had put a lock on Vada corporate accounts until matters had been adjudicated. Kai had expected that.
Did you receive a transfer from Belinta a few weeks ago? It was in my personal account, not a company account.
I regret, madam, that I find no record of such a transfer. The last value we have for madam's personal account, based on Ansible data, is indeed healthy, but those funds are not presently available because of the Ansible failure. In the present crisis, we cannot advance monies based on remote accounts.
Very well, then. I want to open a new account. We're selling cargo here, and I'll be making purchases.
It would have to be cash or hard goods.
Of course. I'll courier over about 4,000 credits worth, using as a rough guide the official appraisal from Immigration.
Ah, well, that will be fine, Captain. Their assessments are often less than we might give, shall we say. And you say you have cargo as well?
Yes, we're unloading now. My cargo master will be dealing shortly.
Excellent. Now, is this to be a VATA transport account or a personal account?
Personal.
Very well. We will await your courier and make funds available as soon as the valuation is cleared.
Captain, the Garda are here. Their officer would like to speak with you.
I'll be right out. Baratom Security is sending a couple of personnel to help guard Dockside, and I'm going to need a courier to Crown and Spears to open an account. Would you say another Baratom agent or a courier service?
Neither. When Baratom takes over Dockside coverage here, I'll escort you or a crew member.
The Garda, who met Kai, held out a legal notification pad.
Make your mark here, madam. You're being notified of your legal status on the station, your legal rights and obligations.
Kai read the notification and signed her name. She handed him a data cube with the recording of the man's attack.
We'll be in touch.
One of his fellows took the cargo cords off the operator and put on their own restraints. Then they hauled the man away.
I've got a list of what we need to complete our own perimeter security.
There's a supplier on this hub, not that far away. When I get the bank account set up... Oh, and by the way, I haven't contacted the rental company yet. In the meantime, can we start unloading?
Yes, ma'am. Jim here has convinced me that he does indeed know how to handle one of these things. I had him move it around while we were waiting for the Garda to show up. And here's Baratom.
Kai glanced toward the dockside entrance and saw 2 uniformed men waiting by the entrance. She started forward, but Martin stopped her.
It's my job. If you'll just get whatever you need for the bank run, and I'd recommend Mitt for your courier. He has an implant, and he looks nothing like you.
By the time Kai came back, Martin had assigned the 2 Baratom guards to the dockside entrance and told Aline to open up the nearside cargo hold. Bia and Mihar were pacing around the dockside. Jim was backing away from the cargo hold with the first stack of containers. Mitt, his face sober, took the packet with 2 diamonds from Kai and put it in an inner pocket in his tunic. Shortly thereafter, she had an account with a balance of 5,876 credits and a Crown and Spears credit chip,
with authorization code. With that, Vic's Precision Protection Supply was willing to send over 648 credits worth of surveillance gear. It arrived just as Martin and Mitt returned from the bank. Martin took charge of it and began installation at once. Unloading proceeded. Kai looked at the trade hall listings and saw that the Leonoran pharmaceutical components should do very well, bringing much more than they would have on Leonora. Now that she had a bank account, she could list the cargo on the boards, and bids began to come in. She shunted those to Aline's attention. Her own attention focused on what she needed most to make her ship and her crew safer while in port. Any port. The attack on Belinta had involved both firearms and contact poison. They would need their own weapons, personal armor, and antidotes to such poisons, if any existed. The tricky part would be getting to the small arms dealers before someone got to her. Martin would come with her, but she wasn't sure that would be enough. If she didn't wear Vada colors and carried her own weapons after she got them, it would help to know who else in the crew knew how to use any. She paused to ask Martin. Mihar, of course, was an expert with the pistol bow. It turned out that she had also handled needlers before. Jim, as Kai now began to expect, rather shamefacedly admitted to having handled a variety of weapons.
There were sort of like pirates hanging out in the estuaries near where we farmed, so I kind of picked up on some of it. And my father, he always hunted even though the landlords didn't like it.
So what do you know enough about to be useful?
Slug throwers. We didn't have stunners and needlers and all those spacer things. Make a big enough hole in it, my dad always said, and you're sure it's dead. There was this thing that lived out in the woods, big as a cow, and had these scales on it.
Slug throwers. Handguns or long barrels?
Both, Captain. Now, what I really liked, but only got to use once, and he was really mad about it, was the Mayor's Schneider Watson 44 automatic. Made a lot of noise, it did. But you could put holes in those bitty little pirate speedboats with it. Or give me a rifle like my dad had.
How about accuracy?
I'm pretty good. My dad, now he was a dead shot at any distance. But I qualified top in the marksmanship class for the local militia.
Militia? You were in the militia?
Well, actually, not that long. See, they didn't like my family that much, and when they found I'd shot a swamp hog, well, three actually, with one of the militia weapons, they used that as an excuse to kick me out. I don't see what's so wrong about that. I was going to replace the ammunition, and I cleaned up the rifle before I put it back.
Kai bit her lip. It would not do to laugh, but she was beginning to have a good idea what kind of family Jim had come from. They had a few like that on Corley. Old George was one of them, who had not, as her father put it, ever moved into the city from the frontier, even after the frontier was settled. You want them on your side, her father had told her. Their virtues weren't needed most of the time, but when they were, nothing else would do. So now she had what her father called a bush rat of her very own, and she'd better make proper use of him. She called Martin in to look at the catalogs from the various shops. Martin's face was eloquent. She didn't need his verbal comments to second her opinion that Bernie's knives and guns was out of the running, along with arms for you. He thought the gun club might have serviceable weapons for the crew, but Kai noticed that the list of available weapons hadn't been updated for several weeks. Blade, Bullet, and Bow had top-quality weapons and prices to match, like Terrafield, back home on Slaughter Key. Her father's personal weapons were all from Terrafield. She had gone there with him once, and remembered the quiet shop with its slightly faded green carpet and old-fashioned display cases where the weapons on display were all antiques, and customers and staff spoke to each other in strings of cryptic numbers. It had been years before she understood what the numbers meant, and the difference in quality between the weapons there and the ones at Connery's Sporting Goods in Corleytown, which all had names as well as numbers. Hotshot 2100, Blast'em, which came in attractive colors, Matchmaker. She shook herself out of that memory, and the surge of fear that her father was dead. She had to hope he wasn't. From their docking slot at Hub 2, Hub 4, with its multitude of arms merchants, could be reached by external shuttle or internal tram, with transfers.
Blade, Bullet, and Bow, though in Hub 3, was reasonably close by tram, and on the way to Hub 4, where she planned to visit Milmart Exchange. One trip would be safer than several. Martin recommended she take Jim along, as well as himself and Bia.
The boy's an obvious gawking tourist. He'll be a distraction to others, and anyway, he's got to get better shore clothes.
Lastway Station was as bustling and colorful as Belinta had been quiet and dull. Despite the danger, Kai's heart lifted at the sight of hurrying pedestrians, bright shop entrances, exotic smells, the dock entrances of other ships, familiar and unfamiliar logos. She wanted to take off and explore, like any giddy apprentice on a first visit to other worlds, but she schooled her pace to a steady walk and managed not to gawk and point the way Jim was. They reached the inter-hub tram stop without incident. Martin pointed out to Jim the kind of shore suit he should buy as soon as possible. Plain, dark, suitable for any of several occupations. Kai wondered if Jim was paying attention. His eyes were wide. The tram itself was much like those on any station. They bought 5-day passes and boarded one of the pressurized cars. Only one other passenger was in their car, a young girl with an obvious school bag. She was slumped in a corner, staring at her hand reader. The tram slid away from its stop, moving smoothly through the translucent transport tube between hubs. Kai craned her neck, trying to orient herself to the whole station, but it was impossible. Hubs 2 and 3 and their arms blocked most of her view. The planet below was beneath the car's opaque floor. Her stomach lurched as the tram spanned between the artificial gravity of Hub 2 and Hub 3.
Approaching Hub 3 station. All Hub 3 passengers transfer here to Hub 3 radio trams.
The schoolgirl didn't look up as Kai and her crew members rose. Hub 3, where passenger liners docked, had a fancier tram station. Sound-reducing tiles covered the floor and walls in an attractive blue, green, and beige pattern. Instead of ticket machines, there was an information booth with a live clerk behind the window. Kai had already looked up the location of the shop, less than 100 meters from the tram station. So she turned right and found herself in a passage with obviously expensive shops on either side. Past a haberdashery, a jeweler's, a window display of fine china and crystal, a window with two lengths of velvet on which rested 3 silver salvers, she came to the windows of Blade, Bullet, and Bow. On the right, a pair of swords, like something out of legend, leaned against tall black boots and a cocked hat with a plume. On the left, a fan-shaped array of arrows around a recurved bow. The door had no handle, just a button. Kai pushed it. The door opened. She faced a slender, middle-aged man, clean-shaven, in a gray suit as plain as her own and as well-tailored. Behind him, at a discreet distance, was another man whom Kai knew would be armed.
May I help you?
As the man spoke, his gaze slid past her to Martin, Bia, and Jim, then back to her face.
I want to buy a personal weapon.
Meaning no disrespect, madam, but if you are a stranger to the station, there are less expensive shops.
But not, I suppose, those carrying better quality.
No, madam. Would madam care to step in? I am Andrew Barris.
Thank you. May my escort attend?
He looked past her again.
Perhaps madam would feel secure with only one?
Of course. Martin, 2 of you can wait outside.
Bia, Jim, stay close to the shop.
You will, of course, wish to ensure that he is not armed.
Madam is perceptive. Arden, you may proceed.
Standard arms, 11mm shoulder holster. I presume you'd rather I didn't reach for it?
Is that all?
The only firearm, yes.
Would you remove the holster harness?
Be glad to.
Martin removed his tunic and shrugged out of the harness. The store employee took it carefully, without touching Martin's weapon, and placed it on the counter before running a hand scanner over Martin. Then he nodded at his employer, who nodded at Kai.
How may we serve you?
I'm thinking a 10 or 11 millimeter Rossi Smith with whatever ammunition is legal for everyday carry on this station. Frangible, sputters?
The man's eyes widened just slightly.
Is this for yourself, madam, or your escort?
This would be for me.
When I shoot someone, I expect them to stay down a while.
We have a number of weapons of that caliber. We have 3 10mm Rossi Smiths in the shop at present. 2 are customized, 1 with rose gold inlay and floral carving on the grip. I'm sure Madam would like to see the one with rose designed.
The plain one, please.
Wait one moment, please. And if I could just have Madam's credit references?
Cash. Kai did not want some spy at the bank to know exactly what her weapons were. Barris's eyebrows went up and his lips tensed.
Perhaps you would be good enough to switch on the excellent site security I'm sure you have. I would then be glad to explain.
His mouth was still tight, but he nodded, pressed a button, then brought out from beneath the desk one of the squat cylinders Kai recognized.
The outer perimeter is now shielded to most scanners. This completes the acoustic shielding, and the windows behind the display cases are one way. Is Madam satisfied?
Thank you. My name is Kailara Vata. Yes, that Vata. As you clearly are aware, my family is under attack. I was in transit when the trouble started and know no more than what's in the news feeds. I have been informed that the local station considers Vata corporate accounts unreliable and is demanding cash. I assumed that you would follow suit. If I have insulted your honor, please accept my apologies.
My dear madam, I understand completely. If the local financial institutions have frozen Vata accounts, then you are right. Because of our location, so far from the center of human space, we are unable to offer credit if local accounts are frozen. However, we would be pleased to accept barter if you do not, perhaps, have access to local supplies of cash.
My cargo's selling, and I've opened a separate account. I expect to have access to cash shortly. However, in addition to purchasing a weapon from you, I wanted to ask your advice on 2 things. First, I have some, family valuables that I could sell, but I have no idea who would give me an honest price. I have had to rely so far on assessors attached to immigration.
I understand your concern, madam. As for the valuables, it depends on the type. Items of historical value or precious materials?
Materials.
With you, perhaps?
A portion. Kai slipped her fingers into her pouch and removed 1 diamond. This, for instance. Barris nodded, showing no emotion, as if customers laid diamonds on the counter every day. Perhaps they did.
Quite nice. We can arrange immediate appraisal. The firm we use is certified by Interstellar Convention and bonded. Is that satisfactory? I am already persuaded that your items are of sufficient value to cover any likely purchases.
Quite. He opened a drawer and laid the Rossi Smith on the pad in front of her. She picked up the weapon. Perfectly plain, the grip of some dark wood? It felt organic, but not quite like wood.
No, madam. That's blood beast tusk from Xerion. It shares with old earth ivory the characteristic of remaining grippy, even if one's hands should sweat. But it has much better impact resistance. Madam will note that the action is the classic 1701 model rather than the newer 1900...
Which tends to develop a stick with repeated rapid fire.
Exactly. Perhaps Madam would like to try it out on our range?
Indeed, yes. Kai followed him through a curtain, down a narrow passage, and then into a 2-person gallery. Here, he offered ear protectors, goggles, and discreet assistance. The rounds he gave her were clearly marked target rounds. She loaded, lined up, and fired. The trigger pull had just enough resistance, and the recoil with the target round was negligible. Her first 3 shots were in a line left to right across the middle of the target.
Ah, drat. It's been too long.
Not bad, but you were rushing.
She tried again, this time remembering all the tricks her father had taught her, and produced a tight cluster.
Better. You are aware, madam, of the difficulty of hitting targets in variable G.
It was something they'd studied in the academy. Kai remembered the frustration on that trip to the Academy's own orbiting training station.
Oh, yes. Luckily, I'm not going to be shooting at anyone who's not shooting at me.
Kai loaded another clip of target rounds. She placed this group in half the area of the last one.
Very nice, madam. Now, station regulations limit the permissible ammunition loads to frangibles and chemical immobilizers, no sputters. Rounds with total delivery force small enough to avoid structural damage to the station, of course. For this model, we recommend the Rossi-approved PF for a frangible round, and the CPF, which encapsulates the latest legal release of an immobilizer marker combination. Dispersal is limited by droplet size to within a meter of the impact point, so there is minimal collateral involvement.
Does the station management have a preference?
Some criminals do wear protective gear, which, of course, limits the utility of the frangible rounds.
Personal armor. I meant to ask about that, too.
We carry protective gear, of course, at a range of sizes and price points.
I'd better take a look. And yes, I'll take this one. I'll take another two clips to sight in with, and then five each of PF and CPF.
And perhaps a holster and concealed carry permit? The background check is, I assure, madam, brief and discreet. If Madam's escort does not already have one, it would be advisable to obtain one for him as well.
Kai had not carried a weapon on her person except for forays into the woods back home, where a very obvious holster on the hip was fine.
I'm thinking.
Her bill mounted up. Weapon, ammunition, carrying case, cleaning kit.
Alas, madam, no one has ever been able to make a firearm perfectly self-cleaning.
Permit to carry openly or concealed. And finally, the wearable protection. Here, the top-grade torso armor was so thin and flexible that she found it hard to believe it would do any good. Barris put it over a human form whose base wobbled when he nudged it, stood it up in one of the lanes, and fired at it. The torso model on its pole barely moved. The armor stiffened, changed color, and the light towel he hung down the back appeared scorched brown when he lifted it to show her.
One-way heat radiation, madam. Substantially reduces impact effect, as well as protecting against penetration. Only recently licensed for civilian use, though supposedly it's been available in the black market for several years. Not that I would trust my life to that version.
Kai tried on one of the vests in her size. Not much heavier than a wool vest, and surprisingly comfortable. It fit invisibly under her business suit.
Serious assassins go for the head, of course. We can't armor that without being obvious, which I gather is not Madam's desire.
I would prefer to be inconspicuous, yes.
We can offer basic torso protection to your security personnel at competitive prices.
After all, the profit on what you're getting for yourself covers our cost of stocking it, went unsaid. Merchant to merchant, Kai looked at him. He smiled. She smiled back. Well, if someone took a shot at her people while she was getting from here to Hub 4, she would feel guilty for leaving them unprotected.
Economy is a factor.
Of course, madam. I shall be glad to call up the current price points from the other on-station dealers.
Quite all right.
No need to say she had already. He would assume she had. Somewhat to her surprise, just one of Aunt Gracie's diamonds covered the entire cost with credit left over. Fitting Martin with a conventional vest took only a few minutes, but when Kai went to call Jim and Bia inside, they were no longer near the door. Instead, Jim was crouched near the display window of the china shop, with Bia standing over him.
What's wrong? Are you all right?
I am, but look at this.
He turned and stood, cradling in his arms a small black and white animal with stiff spiky fur.
Someone's been messing it about. I found it in the rubbish bin trying to get out.
What is that?
Bright black eyes, little black nose, and the moist pink tongue that suggested old earth origin. Hairy, so a mammal of some kind. She glanced around and saw that Jim had indeed dismantled a rubbish bin to get it out, leaving trash strewn about.
And you'd better clean up the mess you made before someone finds us for littering.
It's a puppy. A terrier puppy. Here, you can hold him while I pick this up.
He shoved the wriggling little animal into her arms and turned. The puppy promptly fastened onto Kai's hand with sharp little teeth.
Ow!
Bia came up beside her.
Here. I expect now we're in trouble for harboring an unlicensed animal on station, but at least we can contain it. And it bites.
The puppy fastened its teeth on Bia's thumb.
I noticed.
Bia pried open the puppy's jaws to retrieve his thumb. He offered the puppy the cuff of his suit, and the puppy worried it, growling.
I hope it doesn't piddle on you.
Jim stuffed the last of the trash back into the container and set the lid on.
Come on, let's get you fitted.
Martin had retrieved his weapon and followed her out.
Some guard you are, Bea. What did you think you were doing?
When Kai came back, trailed by Jim, Bea had the puppy cradled along one arm upside down and was stroking its belly. He handed it to Jim, reluctantly it seemed, while Martin rolled his eyes. Fitting Bea also took only a short time. Kai accepted her change in local currency and excused herself. She arrived outside just in time to see an obvious station guard staring at the sight with disgust. The guard moved along the passage toward them.
You there! Do you have a license for that animal?
This had not been part of her plan.
It's not ours!
Not yet.
The guard flicked open what Kai was sure was a combination comm unit and data entry.
You'll have to come along now, exposing the station to an unlicensed animal. Where are you people from, anyway?
His gaze roved over Jim's unattractive, rumpled Balinta tunic, which, Kai noticed, failed to completely conceal his brand new armor. The guard's gaze sharpened.
Wearing armor, eh? And you, you're carrying a weapon.
Now he was glaring at Kai. She tilted her head back to the doorway of Blade, Bullet, and Bow.
We've just come out.
And put the animal in a waste can while you were in there? Do you have any idea
why? I didn't put it there. It was in there, whimpering and scratching. Poor thing. I couldn't leave it.
Is that true?
I was inside. I didn't hear it. When I came out, he was holding it.
Well, it's in your possession now. And if this is your employee, you're responsible for it. And for not having a proper license and health papers for it. And how about a license for that weapon?
Here.
Kai fished her new license out of her pocket. He glanced at it.
All right, then. Come along to the office and take care of this.
He glared at the puppy. Never argue with law enforcement in the street, her father had told her. Go pleasantly along to the office, cooperate, and you'll be done much faster. So probably it was only seeming to take an hour, Kai thought, to follow the guard along the passage, past stores that changed gradually from the upper margin of the upper crust to the solid commercial filling of any major space station that saw a lot of traffic. And there was the guard office for this arm of Hub 3, with its hull-quality door standing wide open.